Good morning. God is wonderful, and he speaks to each of us and says different things while reading the same text. So what I heard is quite different from Tom. I heard a lot throughout the past year, even longer, about God talking to us about our stuff, about physical possessions, wealth, and accumulating things, and greed. And I think one of the reasons that this is kind of pertinent for me now in my life is that this is one of the wealthiest areas I've ever lived in. And so stuff that is displaying status is all around. Like when I go back to my hometown for Thanksgiving, there's not a single Tesla, but here they're very common. And so it's constantly there. And the housing prices are a part of that. It's just kind of this environment in which I live that like stuff is kind of really relevant. But throughout our time in the prophets, I heard God warn people about stuff and its ability to compete with him for priority in one's life. And one of the things that we as humans do is we try to like carve out territory and space for ourselves to feel comfortable and safe. And so we think, like, if I just get that job, or I just get that paycheck, or I just get that car, or that house, or that thing, or all of these things, then I'll be okay, right? And God wants desperately for us to be free from that lie. He wants us to know that freedom is only found in him, and that stuff is a part of our lives, but it shouldn't be our lives. And so this competition that stuff can have for first place in our lives is what I really heard God speaking to me throughout the prophets. One passage in particular that stands out to me in Ezekiel is when he's speaking to Edom. And he's talking to Edom and he's like, you had a whole lot and you were very wealthy and you stored it up for yourself and that corrupted you and then it made you violent. So the stuff corrupted them as a people, and then it led to them becoming violent. And that is not what I want for myself, and I don't think that's what God wants for us either. Later, or maybe earlier, he also talks to the shepherds of Israel, right, who are supposed to be caring for his flock. And instead of caring for the flock, they have abused the flock and stolen from them. And they've taken the flock's food and they've eaten it themselves. And that's not the kind of person that God wants us to be dominated and controlled by our greed and our lust for more. The kind of people that God wants us to be are the kind of people who reflect him. And he is a God who's open-handed and generous. And so we need to hold our stuff loosely, like God holds his stuff, like God held his son, right? And give it away sacrificially. And so living in this time and this place, I feel like God is communicating to me that this is a risk. This is a risk for you here and now, where it hasn't been a risk for you in other places you've lived and other states of your life. So you need to be on guard for this. And so that's one of the ways that I've been responding to this this need for stuff, this quest for more in our culture, is to just really be kind of aware of it. But I don't think that awareness is enough. You can totally know something is out there and it can still eat and devour you. And so there have to be some practices that go along with that. And one of those is practicing generosity and trying to really look at my stuff differently than I have at previous points in my life, where my stuff isn't for me, but it's for me to give away to bring life to others. And so where are some opportunities in our community, in our church, where I can be open-handed and be giving and to really notice my heart in those opportunities and pray for God to soften the hard places. And then the third one, so watching it, holding things loosely. And then the third and last one is to practice some at least delayed gratification, if not denial, right? There are some things that I want and I don't have to have them. And I don't have to have them now. And so There's some small things and there's some large things that I would like. And currently I am denying myself. I don't know if it's going to turn into delayed gratification or if it will stay denial at all points. But this is at least a way that I'm approaching my interaction with things so that I can see God in this part of my life, right? So ultimately it's his job to shape my heart, but he has revealed this to me, so I need to respond to him. I hope that you can do the same.
We are going to come and enjoy the presence of Jesus at his table. And as we prepare to do so, I want to point out that the stories we've heard so far have been powerful in a couple ways. From both Tom and Katie, we heard that there is some call on their life to respond. But the starting point for both of them isn't, I have to do this in order to gain God's affection or approval. But both of them have heard God's love. God just longing to be in relationship with them. God speaking to him by his Spirit through his word fresh, saying, I love you, I choose you, you belong to me. Now let me transform your life. Let me make you whole. Let me make you more human. And this is beautiful. And it's part of the reason we come to the table every single week. Because if we hear anything in God's word, if we hear some call to live in a new way, if we hear repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, if we hear something that requires a response, it's not a response that we take so that God will look favorably upon us, so that we might gain his attention or affection. It's a response to what he has already done for us in Christ Jesus. He sent his son to come and to dwell among us so that we might know and trust the truth that God is with us, that his movement is toward us, not away from us. His heart is to make his home among his people. And there, he invites us into fellowship. He invites us to his table to know him, to learn his voice, to recognize him. And so we come to the table together this morning. I want to invite our servers to come. We're going to hear our second reading from the prophets. So the first third of the year, we were in the minor prophets, the book of the 12, and then we moved into Jeremiah, the prophet of Jerusalem, the prophet who announced to the southern kingdom that they were going to go into exile in Babylon, that Israel as it was coming to an end. But Jeremiah says, that will not be the end. It will seem like the end, it will feel like the end, but there will be a new beginning, and that new beginning will be found in me. And so in Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31, we hear, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins. Next, we get to hear from our brother David.
Uh, All right. Thank you for giving me a wonderful time to share. I'm so grateful that there are so many graces received through the prophets. The first that I could find through the prophets is that God wants to be with us. Through the vision of the temple of Ezekiel, we can see clearly that God always wants to dwell with us. As we know, the passion of God was completed by Jesus. What we are hearing through the prophets is return to the Lord, as Tom shared. God has never abandoned us, but we have forsaken God. It's not the Israelites didn't know God, but they left from God, even they knew who God is. Because their greed, their thoughts, their satisfaction, their needs, and their schemes were priority more than God. Because of pride that we can live well without God, but we know it just leads us to destruction. When I look back on my life, I could find sometimes my plan was more important than God's plan. Even if my plan looks perfect, I always need God. Through the prophets, we can see that God is still there and waiting for us. There is nothing we can do. We just return to the Lord, repentance. The second that I found through the prophets is that the life of the prophets is very, very difficult. None of the prophets lived a comfortable life. Think about it. Isaiah, he had gone stripped and barefoot for 3 years. Hosea, he married an adulterous woman. Jonah, he had to obey a disagreeable command inside the fish, and so on. The prophets had to do what they didn't want, and they didn't mind shameful things. Nevertheless, the sacred task of proclaiming the word of God was given to them. This is the same for me, for us. I believe that we must live a prophetic life today. I ask myself, am I really living in this life? Am I living as a prophet in this world? I believe we are all God's models. So I believe, of course, that the church should be a model of a visible God. And the church has a mission to declare in this world, not just through words, but through life. So it is very difficult to live as a Christian. According to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's amazing and it's interesting. When we love one another, when you love each other, it becomes a very powerful declaration to the world. Love one another. Love your neighbor. It will be a very powerful declaration that shows God. Amen. So, in 2018, my family and I received a lot of love. Since we became a family of Discovery Church, we have experienced the love of God beyond nation, language, and race. So I believe that this power of love will change the world. And now this love is changing at least one family. The grace that God poured into my family in this year is too great. And there have been many changes. As you know that I got ordained this year. We went to Korea in 3 years since we came here. Became a resident in Livermore, near church. And Yul has been doing well at school. And we were able to meet Korean family, actually Junshik's family, and got together. And Eugene, she passed the driver license. Yes, great. Even though she didn't get a plastic card yet, but anyway, praise the Lord. I believe these changes will be a trigger, not only for my life, but for the important changes in our church. I'd like to pray for the activation of the Korean group, especially in next year. We are praying that there will be one more family in our group. So, and they will be the connection for one another family. The ministry that I can continue to do is to serve and disciple them with love. It will be continued to do in next year as well. I'm dreaming that multilingual and multi-ethnic worship will take place in our church, starting with this ministry. I believe this has already begun. God's concern is still the lost people. Sometimes his love is reckless, as like he leaves the 99. Through the prophets, we could find that God loves not only Israel, not only Christian, not only us, but all nations, people, the lost people, and your neighbor. I believe this is my challenge and our church challenge as well. Thank you.
And now we get to hear from Penny Daig.
Morning. First off, I want to say I'm thankful for 12 Days of Christmas because I love those songs, and you don't hear those out in the stores and all that. This is really one of the few places, so it's been fun. When I first heard that we would be studying the prophets for this whole year, I was excited because I'm one of the odd ones that really enjoys the Old Testament. I feel like it's straightforward and all that. Yeah, until I got in the prophets. And then it was like, oh. So I didn't realize how difficult it would be at times. And sometimes it's literal and sometimes it's not. And I'd be slacking Curtis, what does this mean? That's not literal. Okay, how am I supposed to know? So sometimes I just wanted to chuck it and walk away. One of the things that I learned was perseverance to just continue on a little bit, kind of what Katie said. In this day and age, we want everything now. We want it to be easy. We want it, you know, just to come easy. But I learned that unless you have to invest in something, you really don't appreciate it. So that's kind of what I'm learning, that when I'm studying God's word, it shouldn't be easy. I should have to put some of my own self into it, and then God will give me what I need. It should come, even if it's a cost of our time and energy, that's a cost. So I also learned that God is a God of specifics. He's not haphazard, and he's a planner, which I can appreciate. And that he wants a relationship with us. And I wish I'd have written it down. There was a passage that just really spoke to me about how broken God's heart was. And you don't really think about a big God that is hard, but his heart breaks, and I think, okay, what am I doing that's breaking God's heart, and what do I need to change? So that was another one. And then the fact that he wants a relationship, he also wants to be revered and awed because he is God. He's not our pal, our chum. He's God, and he wants to keep that separate. So those are the things I learned. I look forward, as we move into the New Testament, to what God's going to teach me there. continue to persevere when it's not easy. And so now my plug is, if you're not part of a small group, this is a perfect time. Jump in. We're starting with a short book, so it shouldn't be too overwhelming. And it's kind of like Katie said, when you get to hear from others, it's not just what you've learned, but what they've learned. But it's also becoming part of community and family. You share in the same joys and sorrows, and it's just, it's a fun time.
Our third passage this morning brings us into the third section of the prophets that we reflected on, we heard, we have been responding to all year. At first, we were in the Minor Prophets, the Book of the 12, and then Jeremiah, the prophet in Jerusalem, and then Ezekiel, the prophet in Babylon, a prophet preaching to a people who had lost everything and were desperate to know where God was at. And so Ezekiel 11, starting in verse 14, we hear, "The Lord's word came to me, Ezekiel, human one, when the people living in Jerusalem said, 'They've gone far from the Lord, and we've been given the land as an inheritance.' They were talking about your family, your nearest relatives, the whole house of Israel, all of it. 'Therefore say, the Lord God proclaims, even though I made them go far away among the nations and caused them to scatter throughout the earth, I provided some sanctuary for them in the countries to which they've gone. Therefore say, the Lord God proclaims, I will gather you from the nations, assemble you from the countries where you were scattered, and I will give you Israel's fertile land. They will enter the land, and they will remove from it all of its disgusting and detestable things. I will give them a single heart, and I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove the stony hearts from their bodies and give them hearts of flesh so that they may follow my regulations and carefully observe my case laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. As for those whose hearts continue to go after their disgusting and detestable things, I will hold them accountable for their ways. This is what the Lord God says." I'm going to invite Brian Capiotti. We've heard from board members and one of our pastors, and now we get to hear from one of our ministry team leaders.
I just want to apologize. I'm going to read this. It might be kind of boring and impersonal, but I hope that it's meaningful for you. It's really nervous being up here for me and probably for everybody else too. So thank you guys for doing this. I remember one of the first verses that I read in the Bible that really got me excited to be a Christian. It was John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I often thought about this verse and how I wanted this full life. My idea of a full life was based heavily on cultural norms: a big house, cars, good paying job, security, retirement, moving up, being respected by family and colleagues. But the more I read of the Bible and tried to live into God's truths, the more I realized that this full life Jesus spoke of wasn't the cultural desires that I'd been pursuing, but rather my pursuit of God and the life that he desires for us. The Old Testament prophets this year have challenged me to live into this full life, and I'm convinced that these stories and historical accounts of a nation called Israel are teaching us the way to this full life. One of the ideas that has really struck me in the prophets is this idea that the Israelites didn't actually desire God. They desired what he could do for them. They desired his promises and gifts rather than really know him. Starts when God brings them out of Egypt and moves towards them, but naturally they are afraid and move backward and away. Do you ever find yourself desiring what God can do for you rather than God himself? It's like my children loving me because they want a phone or a pet or money to buy something that they want. They don't actually love me, Brian Campiotti, their dad. They just want what they want. The question I ask myself is this: do I long to know Jesus and his will, or just to figure out how to get what I want? The problem with this is that even when I get what I want, it leads me away from God and into things that are not good for me. I've learned that in this life, what God has made and called good is what I am to desire. When I pursue a perversion of what God has made, I wind up living into death and destruction. In Jeremiah, we find King Zedekiah summoning for Jeremiah as his whole world is falling apart and the Babylonians are about to seize Jerusalem. He asks Jeremiah to tell him what is going to happen to him, and Jeremiah tells him to surrender to Babylon and he will live. But what does King Zedekiah do? As a section of the city wall falls, King Zedekiah waits for nightfall and slips out the back gate, and takes off running with some of his men. The Babylonians quickly catch him, and the king of Babylon pronounces judgment on him, and it isn't pretty. As I read the story of King Zedekiah and reflected on why he made the decision he did, I found myself thinking about my own story. I often pray that God would show me what I need to do so that I can do it. But when I hear what I should do, I quickly realize it's very hard to follow and to trust what God is asking me to do. King Zedekiah was trying to preserve his own life and the lives of his family members. So he fled, trying to trust in himself and his own choices rather than to trust God and surrender to Babylon. His fear of what the king of Babylon would do drove him to make the choice he made, and the king was not merciful at all. God's desire is that we would trust him and have life. But we too have a choice to make. Will we trust God and his word, or will we trust ourselves? Do we know God's word well enough to know what thoughts, words, and actions will lead us and others to life? Or will we trust in ourselves and what we think is best? The other connection that I wanted to make mention of comes from God's desire for us to be made holy. Since Egypt, God is working with the Israelites on how to be holy, that they might have a full life. He gives them the Ten Commandments as a starting point to guide them on the journey toward holiness. But before Moses can even return from communing with God, the people have already pleaded for Aaron to build them a golden calf so they can worship God. This begins Israel's lust toward idolatry. Idolatry has been a huge recurring theme throughout the prophets. God's desire is that the people would throw off these idols, repent, and turn away from them, and trust God and live into the life that he has called them to. God is patient with them as they go back and forth in worshiping idols and him, but they always seem to come back towards idols. What I keep coming back to after reading story after story describing Judah and Israel is even though these stories are about a nation, this nation looks a lot like me. God is asking me to pursue him and to be made holy. God is asking this because he wants me to be holy, to have a full life because he loves and cares for me. When I ask my kids to obey me and not eat too much candy, it's not to withhold something from them because I'm ignorant and mean. Well, that might be true. I ask them to obey so they will have strong teeth, healthy bodies, and consume real food that's going to nourish them. I want them to have life and be holy just as our God desires for us. God is leading us toward holiness. Will you read God's word and obey it in his spirit? Will you allow God to transform you from the inside out? Or will you rely on yourself and fake idols that will lead you toward death and destruction? Will you trust a God who pursues you in spite of your unfaithfulness and follow where he leads you? Or will you destroy yourself and those around you in your stubbornness? Friends, I am convinced that it is in these words that we find life and life to the full, just as Jesus described. Come and have life.
Thanks, man. What you have experienced this morning, in some sense, is the story that we find in Luke 2, where angels appear to a group of ordinary shepherds and announce the word of God has been born. And these shepherds come and they find this child wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angels had announced. And then the shepherds do what they must, which is share what they've seen and what they've heard. And you've heard from some ordinary shepherds that they have come into contact this year with the living word of God. And we, as we read the prophets all year long, I mean, it's easy for these to remain, you know, words on a page. But if we listen, if our hearts are open, we experience the breath of God breathing through these words, making them alive for us and revealing to us the Son of God. And I think you've heard this morning testimonies of shepherds who have come face to face with the Son of God. This is good. And I want to give us just a few minutes as we prepare to end service, celebrating the birth of Christ, to follow the example of our brothers and sisters. And you may not have anything. You may not have journeyed with us through the prophets this year, and that's totally fine. But if there's something this year that you heard God speaking to you through the prophets, if we could just turn to form kind of smallish groups and just share whatever God has given you. And then if somebody would pray, just praising God for these gifts, the gift of his word, spoken word that reveals to us the living word, Jesus Christ. So if we would turn and we'll just spend a couple minutes sharing our lives with each other and bearing witness to what God has done and spoken. So I just had you practice doing what we are called to do in the world. Our last song is going to be "Go Tell It on the Mountain," and it's such a great song at Christmas to remember that good news has broken into our world and into our lives. And are we able? Are we ready? Are we hungry to share what God has done? To go and tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ has come and that he is Lord and that God still speaks and that he still invites and that he is still Lord. This is incredible news. And it ought to transform our lives and the way that we leave this place each week. And so I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And if you would sing this song with conviction and joy and passion as we prepare to leave this place, gusto, as we prepare to leave this place as heralds, as messengers, the good news has come.